Hi, this is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. The Attorney General considering a second special counsel for the FISA abuse.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I have great respect for Mr. Gowdy and Chairman Goodlatte, and we're going to consider seriously their recommendations. I also am well aware that we have a responsibility to ensure the integrity of the FISA process. We're not afraid to look at that.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Based on your conclusion of reading this application, what do you think was going on there?
Well, I think not just the initial application, but each of the three subsequent renewals has raised real questions about whether or not the FISA process was abused in order to obtain that warrant to surveil Carter Page.
What do you think? You've seen it.
Oh, I think absolutely there were abuses of the FISA process. And that's one of the reasons that I think that a second special counsel isn't just appropriate. I think it's necessary.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. So December 12th of last year, I called for the appointment of a second special counsel, independent from the inquiry that Bob Mueller's engaged in, completely independent, dealing with the FISA abuse situation, dealing with the way in which the FBI conducted the Hillary Clinton investigation, but also go even further, and that it involves some of the strange aspects of the FISA situation, including the fact that the number four at the Department of Justice, Bruce Orr's wife, was working for Fusion GPS. Well, this morning, or it may have aired last night, the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions, said he is seriously considering that recommendation. By the way, Senator Graham Grassley and also, in this particular case, Trey Gowdy have joined our recommendation for a special counsel. I could say we joined theirs. I think we all came out about the same time on that. So this is a big move. And Trey Gowdy appeared on Fox News yesterday and said that this is something they need to be done. And one of the things that have kind of been, they're saying, well, right now we have a situation where the inspector general's looking at it. And that's true, but the inspector general loses jurisdiction over people that leave the Department of Justice. And right now it looks like, according to Senators Graham and Senators Grassley, Trey Gowdy, Bob Goodlatte, that there's up to 12 witnesses that are no longer with the Department of Justice. So they would be outside of the jurisdiction, Jordan, of the inspector general, who I'm sure will do a thorough job. But this is why you need a special counsel.
Right, and a special counsel, again, in this situation, would be able to independently look at the wrongdoing or potential wrongdoing and potential criminal conduct involved in, one, the Clinton investigation, two, what then led to the Russia investigation and the Trump campaign, because it was the same actors,
yep,
and the FISA abuse. Now, the Attorney General of the United States would not be considering appointing a second special counsel if he did not believe that there was potential criminal conduct. That's why you appoint special counsels, to prosecute crimes or that crimes may have occurred. And we know from people like Peter Strzok, who again went from the Clinton investigation to the Russia investigation to the special counsel's team, who were then fired from the special counsel Mueller's team, and his relationship with Lisa Strzok, with Lisa Page, their secret meetings that they wanted to have in Andy's office with Andrew McCabe, the people who signed off on these FISA warrants, the information that led to a judge granting the FISA warrant was, of course, the dossier. Where did the dossier come from? All of this. And by the way, the entire Department of Justice leadership is conflicted out. They would all have to recuse themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, Rod Rosenstein can't appoint this person.
No.
He signed one of the renewals.
Yeah, he signed one of the FISA renewals.
Yes.
So you've got a series of issues here. Than, really quick, what's the reaction this morning in Washington?
There's a growing realization that the IG can't finish the job for the reason mainly that Jordan just said. Even if he's able to get these people that have left the department to come talk to him, Jay, who's he going to refer it to? He's going to refer it to someone who his investigation is looking at. That won't work.
Well, if the Attorney General's out and if the Deputy Attorney General's out and the number three, number four at the Department of Justice is out. I mean, it would be, no, this is why you need a special counsel. All right, we'll take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. Your reaction to Jeff Sessions' serious consideration of this, what do you think they should do? Is a special counsel necessary? 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Do you think a special counsel is necessary for the FISA abuse, for the Steele dossier utilization in the FISA abuse, for the way the Hillary Clinton email investigation took place? There's a whole series. It could include Uranium One, for that matter. I don't know the scope and nature of what the special counsel would consider, but there's been calls from it congressionally. There's been calls from it legally. And when I say legally, I mean I've said it back in December. I was very aggressive about it, and the reason I said it was I thought it would come to exactly where we are right now, and that is Inspector General can only do so much, especially with people that have left the Department of Justice where he doesn't have jurisdiction. Go ahead.
Well, then a big part of then moving from the Clinton investigation to Trump Russia is that why did we get past the Trump Russia investigation when Peter Strzok, who interviewed Michael Flynn, said there was nothing here. There was no illegal activity. There was no collusion. He was kind of the lead on that, setting up meetings and setting up, you know, the back channels. And Peter Strzok gave an all clear. So why, after Peter Strzok gave an all clear, did he join a special counsel's team to then go after people like Mike Flynn when he told the FBI that there was no wrongdoing here?
Yeah, I mean, that's
so
part of
that's,
the problem.
That's the second part of this investigation. Then the third part is the FISA abuse. So you've got three parts.
And you could have, and it could be other things that they're considering that we don't even know.
The three main parts that we know about right now that Congress has asked Attorney General Sessions to appoint a special counsel to investigate and potentially prosecute crimes. And so I think that is very important to note. Those are the three main topics.
Yeah, that we know of. So, Harry, I asked the question, do we need a special counsel? We've been calling for it.
Absolutely.
The Attorney General's exact words were, I have great respect. Well, actually, let's play him.
I have great respect for Mr. Gowdy and Chairman Goodlatte, and we're going to consider seriously their recommendations. I also am well aware that we have a responsibility to ensure the integrity of the FISA process. We're not afraid to look at that.
He also said, and this did not make it to air or did not make it in what the video that they released on Fox News, I have appointed a person outside of Washington many years in the Department of Justice to look at the allegations that the House Judiciary Committee members sent to us, and we're conducting that investigation. So he's got someone outside of Washington looking at it to determine whether, in fact, Harry, an investigation should be opened through the appointment of a special counsel. Now, I want to be very clear on this, especially to the media here that may be listening, where this is completely independent of what Bob Mueller is doing on the Russia inquiry. It's completely separate. This is involving the FISA issues. Jordan laid out the three issues that we think it would advise. I don't know if it's any broader than that. It could be FISA. They could include in it the way the email investigation was handled and the Hillary Clinton matter. Could be the Uranium One. I don't know the scope and nature of that, but I know it's the FISA abuse. He said that very clearly. But Harry, go ahead.
Well, Jay, it's very important to note that Sessions' statement is a very hopeful and encouraging development. However, what we need is follow through in order to ensure the integrity of the FISA process. So I am encouraged by everything that Sessions said yesterday. But the key issue is, does Sessions have the gumption to appoint a second special counsel to probe the FBI and the Justice Department's FISA abuse?
Yeah.
It is clear that the Justice Department is conflicted. We only have to mention Bruce Ohr.
Yeah, and Bruce Ohr's wife worked for Fusion. You can't make this stuff up. So Bruce Ohr at the time was the number four at the United States Department of Justice, Associate Attorney General of the United States. His wife was working for Fusion GPS as the Russia expert with Christopher Steele on the dossier, while her husband was the number four at the Justice Department and was meeting with people from Fusion GPS and I believe also Christopher Steele.
Right.
And then remember, Christopher Steele was fired by the Department of Justice and the FBI because he was leaking information to guess where? The press. So it's a very complicated situation. But then you also have these pending congressional investigations going on right now. And the thing that I'm going to go back to Than on this. We only touched on it briefly. The thing that always has me concerned when you've got the appointment of a special counsel, which I think is the right thing to do here. We've been calling for it since December. But then you got these committees, and the committees, do they defer to the special counsel or not? And we've had that with the Mueller investigation, with the Russia inquiry, as to what those committees will do and witnesses coming before them. And then you've got an inspector general on top of it. So some of this needs to be streamlined. I'm not saying Congress doesn't have an oversight role. They clearly do. Go ahead.
Well, I think this is the off-ramp for Congress, quite frankly, Jay. I mean, I think people like Trey Bugatti have come to the conclusion that there were FISA abuses, but he's not real sure where to resolve those because Congress certainly can't prosecute. The people at the Department of Justice are involved in the investigation. Remember, Trey Gowdy early on, Jay, he didn't want a special counsel, but what he has concluded now with Chairman Goodlatte in this letter is that there clearly were abuses, but they involve people who will now have the prosecutorial roles at the DOJ. So if the American people are going to have confidence that the wrongdoers are actually looked at and potentially prosecuted, it's going to have to be somebody from the outside. His statement on this, Jay, I think it shows that Congress wants an off-ramp on this, but they don't currently have one. If you had a special counsel, that would be an off-ramp for Congress.
Congressman Jim Jordan, Andy, said that he would recommend someone outside of Washington, D.C. to be appointed for this. I understand that completely. I mean, I could go both ways, but I understand why you'd want someone outside of the Beltway to be looking at this. What's your sense?
Well, I agree. I think that someone outside of Washington definitely should be appointed as the special counsel in the FISA investigation. I have some people in mind. I'm not going to mention their names. One in particular who I think would be excellent, but I think it needs, in order to have credibility, I think it needs to be a Washington outsider. Now, I may be somebody who was in Washington,
yep,
but who has been sufficiently attenuated, in other words, out of there for a long enough time that he can look at this objectively and see it. And I think, Jay, it's really important to note that the special counsel, the grant of authority, if he decides to appoint a special counsel, gives him full power and independent authority to exercise all investigative and prosecutorial functions of any United States attorney.
Within the confines of the Department of Justice guidelines.
It's not
an independent counsel,
right,
which was what Ken Starr was, which was appointed by a three-panel judge.
It's within
the DOJ guidelines.
It's within the guidelines, but then that special counsel has the discretion, and I'm quoting from the Code of Federal Regulations, whether and to what extent he will inform or consult with the Attorney General about the investigation. But I think, and that's an important fact to remember.
And there's a whole issue, too, is that we know the DOJ officials around Washington, D.C., including the U.S. attorneys in places like Virginia and Maryland and Delaware, oftentimes those were utilized to get FISA warrants. Those were U.S. attorneys brought in to impanel grand juries in matters that were related to this. So that's why Rod Rosenstein would have to be recused, because he was a Virginia U.S. attorney. That is why Dana Abente, who is coming in to be the number three at the Department of Justice, he also signed a renewal. He was coming from Maryland. So if you don't get outside of Washington, D.C., it's very tough to find people that would not have to recuse themselves from there. It's very tough to find people who would not have to recuse
themselves.
So you've got to get outside of the Beltway and the state, the surrounding kind of states that do so much work with the federal government. You got to get it outside of Washington. Find someone who can come in who doesn't have the relationships or the conflicts.
Yeah. So any appointment that would be made would be subject to the mandate that the Department of Justice would issue to the special counsel. They can't. It's not an investigation of anything. It's an investigation of a specific matter within the mandate of the Department of Justice. So once the mandate's given by the Department of Justice, whether it be through the Attorney General or I don't think it'd be the Deputy Attorney General here because he signed one of the FISA warrants, so probably not the DAG. But if, so let's assume it was Jeff Sessions. Or if it's not Jeff Sessions, it would fall to number three, and I don't know Rachel Brand's replacement yet or whether there's been
somebody. If it is Dana Bente, then he can't do it either because he signed a FISA renewal.
So you'd have to, wherever there is within the Department of Justice process, it would be subject to the mandate constraints that are put within the grant of authority. So it's not a U.S. attorney who can interview on any topic. In other words, there's mandate restrictions that can be put in place. You could say, we want you specifically looking at FISA. We want you specifically looking at Uranium One, if it's Uranium One. We want you specifically looking at the way in which the Clinton email investigation was, were there irregularities there that need to be ferreted out? So that's how that would be structured.
Sometimes, though, they do include some very broad language.
But that, which I find always problematic.
Yeah, I saw that in this last, I think in one of the last ones, is that kind of in anything related to.
Well, I mean, Ken Starr's, remember, started, and that was independent counsel statute, but started with one thing and ended up on something else. So you got it. Yes, the mandates here are very, you don't want.
Very important to be narrowly
mission
tailored.
Creep on any of these. And that's the one thing I'm concerned about, Dan, quickly, is the intersection of the, I mean, I don't think Congress has to stand down, by the way. But I just think it needs to be a little bit more orderly than it's been through, let's say, this process.
Well, in this letter from Chairman Goodlatte and Chairman Gowdy, it emphasizes that exact point. They want bias rooted out, especially, Jay, when it involves surveilling a U.S. citizen with fraudulent documentation. That's what they want to go after. I think you're going to get a very clear message from Jay Gowdy that he wants a narrow scope.
All right. We are going to take your calls when we come back from the break here. So our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. Do you think it's a good idea to get a special counsel? And what do you think they should be investigating? Should it be Uranium One? Should it be the Clinton email situation? Should it be the FISA abuse? Or should it be all of it? We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
We also have a matching challenge right now. Anything you're able to donate right now to the American Center for Law and Justice, and your financial contributions are doubled. You know, we're preparing to get involved in this California case, the immigration battle there. I talked about it yesterday on Fox Business. We're able to do that because of your support. We've got a team of attorneys on it right now. If you donate right now, your gift is doubled. It's matching challenge. Donate online at aclj.org and double the impact of your donation.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up, at aclj.org.
Podcast, everyone, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Jeff Sessions seriously considering the appointment of a special counsel. We made that call back in December of last year. Do we have that sound? I would like to play it. This is what I said on December 12, 2017. I issued a statement today that the Department of Justice and the FBI cannot ignore the multiple problems that have been created by these obvious conflicts of interest. These new revelations require the appointment of a special counsel to investigate. It's independent of what Bob Mueller does. This is just to focus in on this whole Fusion GPS, the 2016, what Lindsey Graham said, looking at all these issues that arose in 2016, which are out of the ordinary to say the least. So that was back in December of last year, and Senator Graham has made that statement, Than. We also know that Congressman Gowdy, who initially was not so in favor of this, came out in favor of it, as has Bob Goodlatte from Virginia, that chairman of the Judiciary Committee. So this was something we were involved in early on, and I think we've got the right position here.
Yeah, and there were also 13 members of the House last week, Jay, that came out calling for this. But again, I think it's Chairman Trey Gowdy's move to this position that's the most significant, because he really wanted it to be resolved without this. But Jay, he's come to the conclusion in this letter, and I'd encourage people to read it, that he is absolutely convinced that there is an outcome that is necessary here, and that the Department of Justice, as currently constituted, cannot reach that outcome. So you can read between the lines a little bit, but I think he sees potential criminal wrongdoing, Jay, and he knows that the people that would make those decisions can't prosecute that.
Jordan's having trouble figuring out who will be left in the Department of Justice to make any of these decisions.
Yes, I mean, okay, so maybe Jeff Sessions is allowed to appoint the special counsel because he's recused himself, but he
from
can
the Bob Mueller investigation.
But he can appoint the special counsel because he would then, but then someone has to oversee that.
Right. I want to
so
be clear about
I'm
that.
I'm not
I
mean, sure if he can or not.
Right.
So then you move down to number two. Definitely not Rod Rosenstein, because Rod Rosenstein signed his name to
on
one of the
on a matter involving FISA abuse, I do not think Jeff Sessions is recused.
Probably not.
Yeah, I'm not. I can't imagine. I mean, it's politics. Anything could happen. But
depends on how much of the mandate involves Russia and Trump.
Yeah. I think it's really going to focus on, I mean, from what I understand, FISA abuse. It's what Goodlatte and Gowdy call for. It's the FISA abuse. Maybe the way in which the Clinton email investigation was done. I don't know about Uranium One or not. But I don't think this is an automatic recusal for Jeff Sessions. If it needs to be looked at, that's fine. But I don't see where he has to recuse himself.
But past him, it becomes very difficult to find.
Yeah.
I mean, Rod Rosenstein can't. He signed the renewal. The incoming number three signed a renewal, Dana Bente. So let's go take a phone call. I mean, somebody could fill the number four position that Bruce Orr is no longer in charge of.
And the Solicitor General's in that leadership role, too, somewhere
there. That's
right,
so that could happen as well. Pamela in Arizona on line one. Pamela, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Just wanted to give input from a general, you know, citizen. Basically, this is so frustrating listening to you gentlemen today talking around and around and around and around, and you are all wonderful. What I'm speaking about is the fact of why do we have to sit here and talk over and over and over and over about the same thing. Who's going to do this? Who's going to do where?
Because you live in a constitutional republic. We don't live in a monarchy. So if you had a king, they could just appoint one. But we don't live that way, and I think that's good. We live in a constitutional republic. So in a constitutional republic, bam, it's called patience. You have to have it. And I understand when you're frustrated. I completely get it. But the fact is, there's a process, and I'm one that respects the process. And, Harry, I think the advantage of living in the constitutional republic is you don't have a king that issues decrees.
Absolutely. And it's important to point out that there is a huge federal bureaucracy, and the bureaucracy moves quite slowly. So the Attorney General initially wanted to rely on the Inspector General report. It's also clear that there were complementary investigations by Congress which uncovered important information with respect to conflicts within the Justice Department. The Inspector General cannot interview 24 important witnesses because they've left the department.
Yeah.
So we are now moving toward a conclusive case in support of the appointment of a second special counsel. And I agree with you, we are moving relatively quickly.
For Washington, Andy, this is really quick.
It is. It's beyond the speed of sound to see something going as quickly as this. And I'm impressed by the fact that Attorney General Sessions is making this consideration and that he's got, looks like somebody thinking about it. And
he's got a process in place. And Than, because I know that I appreciate the caller's concern of frustration, and I get it. But in Washington speak, 12 weeks is really quick.
It is, and don't forget the fact that we have multiple officials that have left the department. I mean, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, James Baker, Jim Rubicki, those are all positive developments. Here's where I would just slightly agree with the caller, though, Jay. I think the facts are in now, and if, quite frankly, I don't think we should let the Attorney General off the hook. This is just me speaking, but I think to make it clear that this is not about Russia, it is appropriate for him to do this because, like Jordan pointed out, if he doesn't do this, Jay, it just has to fall so far down the ladder that I think it's not going to happen.
So I think, look, I mean, based on my review of the facts and the information I know, a position I would advocate is that he doesn't have to recuse himself. This is a FISA issue, which impacts a tremendous amount of American public life, and we saw that. It was an abuse of a FISA process. Then as it relates to the email scandal, involving Hillary Clinton, it's more of how did the FBI handle it? And that, again, is something I just don't see the Attorney General being recused from that. So I would say clearly that I do not believe Jeff Sessions is recused from a second special counsel independent of, again, let me underscore that, independent of the inquiry involving a special counsel Robert Mueller. Let's go ahead and take another call if we can, Jordan.
Back to phones we go. Let's go to David in Virginia online too. David, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, David.
Hello. Thank you for everything you're doing. I agree with everything you said. I think the whole council should come outside the Beltway. Yeah. I think they should investigate everything you said, to include the death of that ambassador in Benghazi.
I don't think that. Okay. I understand your frustration, but look, that. What happened to Ambassador Stevenson? That was, you know, let's never forget that one. What happened in Benghazi, and the misleading statements that were made in defense of how the narrative that the Obama administration put forward. Having said that, I think Harry, you got to be careful here to keep this within a narrow scope of a very specific task.
Absolutely, and the caller does raise an important point, but I would not go down the Benghazi road. On the other hand, connected to Benghazi is someone by the name of Susan Rice, who's also implicated in the FISA abuse scandal, particularly the unmasking, and arguably that would be part or a component of the second special counsel's warrant in terms of investigating abuses within both the Justice Department and the intelligence community.
All right, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, you can go to aclj.org, go over to the website. Obviously, it's audio and video there, Facebook or Periscope. You're getting it there, Sirius XM. You've got the full hour, and a lot of the stations now carry the full hour. We have opened up some phone lines for you. Don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Jordan's going to talk about that in a moment, but give us a call if you want to weigh in on this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
That is the number you call to talk to us on the air in our second half hour, 1-800-684-3110. We have a matching challenge right now. How do we engage all of these different issues? How have we gotten to a point where a special counsel may very well be appointed to investigate these matters like the FISA abuses? It's because of you and your support of the American Center for Law and Justice, how we're getting involved in the California immigration case as well, because of your financial contributions. And right now, your financial contribution is doubled. We have a matching challenge. Whatever you donate online is doubled the impact for the ACLJ. So donate online at aclj.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Jeff Sessions has said he is seriously considering appointing a special counsel in regard to the alleged abuse of FISA warrant system at the hands of officials in the Justice Department and FBI during the Obama administrations. He's confirmed that he has appointed a person outside Washington to already start looking at at the allegations. So, we called for it.
Yeah, let me
13 members of the House called for it.
Yep.
Two U.S. senators, and then we add to that ultimately an additional two House members, Trey Gowdy and Bob Goodlatte, who chairs the House Judiciary Committee.
Let me also put this in perspective. A friend of mine just sent me from Washington. On November 13th, 2017, the United States Department of Justice got a response to a letter to Chairman Goodlatte, where Chairman Goodlatte had sent letters in July and September of 2017 in which he and other members requested the appointment of special counsel to investigate various matters, including the sale of Uranium One, alleged unlawful dealings related to the Clinton Foundation, and other matters. And then the FISA issue has been added since this. So if you go back and look at this historically, when we came out on the FISA issue in December, Congressman Goodlatte and others had been talking about this going back to the summer of last year. So this has been around, this concern by Congress then has been around for a long time.
Yeah, that letter actually by Chairman Goodlatte was signed by another 20 members, Jay. And that, again, like you said, that was before the FISA information came out. But the response that you're reading from actually tells the chairman that the attorney general had indeed put prosecutors on it. I think that's what you heard the attorney general confirm last night, Jay, that he has someone outside Washington, D.C. looking at this. And I think what he added last night is that he's probably told them to also look at the FISA abuses. So there will have to be a determination made if there is a special counsel, which of these to include. But I think it's going to be focused on whichever ones he believes there is evidence of bias in. And I think the top one there is FISA, but it certainly could include other things as well.
All right. Let's do this. I want to get the views of Professor Hutchison, our director of policy. I want to get Andy Economo's view because Andy was a former U.S. attorney. But Harry, first, from a policy perspective, we are reluctant to call for special counsels. We don't think it should be done just at the drop of a hat. There has to be a sustained and real reason. There has to be the inability of the Department of Justice to review it themselves, which I think is clear here. Your sense?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And so if you look at the Justice Department and if you look at the FBI, we have individuals like Bruce Orr, Peter Strzok, and James Comey. James Comey confirmed that the Russia dossier from Christopher Steele was unverified and uncorroborated. Yet the FBI and the DOJ relied upon it. And so, given that record, it makes all the sense in the world to have an independent view of the misconduct within the Justice Department.
When we come back from the break, I'm going to ask Jordan a question on the kind of the political ramifications of all this, because there's a lot of moving parts here. We're talking about, but Andy, we're focusing right now in this segment on the legal aspect of this.
Right.
Clearly, this meets the standards for the appointment of a special counsel.
Oh, I think it does, and I think that it's important that, and especially with respect to the FISA, because that bothers me a lot. If we used a document that was fabricated, if we used a document that was false and had information that caused a federal judge to issue a warrant to spy on an American citizen, which is what appears had happened, then that needs to be inquired into by a special counsel.
Yeah. So what you have here is, I think, a situation where the standards for the appointment of a special counsel, as outlined in the Department of Justice's own manual and guidelines, has been met. And we agree that there's an appointment that's necessary. All right, we'll come back from the break. We'll take calls.
Yeah. It's in the public interest. There's conflicts of interest, and there's a potential for criminal findings and prosecutions. That's when you appoint a special counsel to look over a division. Folks, we've got a matching challenge right now. Whatever you can donate to the American Center for Law and Justice, your financial contribution is doubled. $5 becomes 10. 10 becomes 20. 50 becomes 100. It goes on up from there. It's a great time to support the work financially of the American Center for Law and Justice so we can do all these cases and all this work here in the U.S. Go to aclj.org and donate online. Be part of our matching challenge to help us continue to do this work, continue to bring you this broadcast. Donate online at aclj.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So, Jeff Sessions says he's giving serious consideration to the appointment of a special counsel. We brought it up in December of last year as it related to the FISA abuse. Congress, members of the House and Senate, brought it up in July of last year. And, in fact, here is a letter from to Jeff Sessions and to Rod Rosenstein. And this is from 20 members of the United States Congress that signed this, including the chairman, Bob Goodlatte. And here's the letter for our Facebook and TV audiences. Here it is. So this is not something new. This has been, but again, in Washington time, Than, this was still very quick to go from, and this was involving one topic, and now it's moved to others.
Well, and the response to that letter assured the chairman that the attorney general was going to be looking at it, would ultimately make a decision. Jay, I think the most significant development, though, is that this new letter adds Trey Gowdy to it. He did not sign that letter you're holding up. He wasn't convinced at that point that there was a need for a special counsel. And remember, he chairs the House Oversight Committee. So his addition to Chairman Goodlatte's lead on this indicates to me that he is now absolutely convinced that a conclusion cannot be reached without a special counsel. And that, I think, the addition of his name is very significant.
About the kind of the political that's going to go back and forth here. If there's an appointment of a special counsel, which we hope Jeff Sessions does,
yeah,
those left of center, I will say, mm-hmm, will politically try to make hay on that.
Oh, yes, of course they will. But then if this is someone who's able to do their job and do their job, again, if they appoint someone who, without any kind of partisan leanings, who is not right, going to give a lot of fodder to the left, I think that they're actually going to be really nervous, because their bureaucrats are going to be under intense scrutiny, not just political appointees, but bureaucrats under intense scrutiny for the first time for criminal wrongdoing, yep, and the abuse of the FISA system. And I think at that point, you have people like Andrew McCabe, you got Jim Comey types, you got even Rod Rosenstein types. I mean, a lot of different kinds of people from both sides of the aisle who are going to be very nervous if this special counsel is appointed. It is why they fought so hard for us not to see those memos,
yep,
because those memos are what led to the idea that things are so corrupt inside the Department of Justice and FBI, they can't investigate themselves. Yes, an IG can issue a report.
Institutionally incapable of doing this.
Because no one's going to take any action on the IG's report because it involves them.
Right.
So like the IG's going to say this person did something wrong and they're still there. Well, they're not going to take action on that. Yep. I mean, it needs somebody from the outside who has the power to subpoena and the power to bring forward a grand jury subpoenas.
If needed. All right. Listen to Congressman Bob Goodlatte explaining the reason why, and this was back just about a week ago.
Every day, thousands and thousands of great men and women keep us safe, investigate crime, prevent terrorist attacks, but several people at the top of this organization have engaged in activities that are questionable. And I think that in order to set the record straight, clear what is going on at the FBI, and make sure this does not happen again, we need to have an outside special counsel.
And Andy, that's particularly so as it relates to the FISA situation. That was surveillance on an American.
That bothers me a lot, Jay, because if we were using corrupted documents in order to influence a federal judge to grant a spy application on an American citizen, and that's what it is, it really is on this Carter page, then we have done something that is absolutely reprehensible and illegal. And that needs to be looked into. And I think a special counsel, at least with respect to the FISA matter, and to look at the process employed in the fall of 2016 and whether it was appropriate and devoid of external extraneous influence, as the letter says, is vital.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go back to the phone and take Rich on line 3, I think.
Yeah, Rich, calling from Kentucky on line 3. Rich, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, Rich.
Thank you. You guys are doing a great job.
Thanks.
And God bless you all.
Thanks.
My question is, can the president appoint a special counsel?
So here's how it works. The president, of course, has the constitutional authority to do that under Article 2 of the United States Constitution. The way it works under the guidelines, or the way within the Department of Justice, it's the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, will evaluate a situation and determine whether, in fact, the facts exist. And that involves independence, the inability of the Department of Justice to do the investigation themselves. So there's a whole group of factors that go in, and that's why it's being reviewed right now by someone outside of Washington, D.C., according to the Attorney General. And I applaud the Attorney General for doing this. And what that will do is the Attorney General will then make a determination. But this is all within the Article 2 power of the presidency. Remember, the Department of Justice.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously this is a situation where the Department of Justice has got an opportunity to start clearing house. And you want to drain the swamp, you can appoint. It's never something you want to have to do. But sometimes it gets so bad, and there's so many people have to recuse themselves. There's so many conflicts of interest because this involves the Clinton investigation, involves the Trump-Russia investigation, involves what led to ultimately the appointment of another special counsel. I mean, you've got to bring in people from the outside. There were so many recusals, so many conflicts, and way too many of these people were involved in the FISA warrant process of Carter Page. So when you have that at the top level of DOJ and FBI, which you do, they cannot investigate themselves. And so the DOJ does not have the people within main justice to carry this function out.
Yep. All right. Let's go ahead and—
I mean, it's hard to find the person who can actually appoint the person at main DOJ.
I think right now the Attorney General of the United States has the authority. I do not think he's conflicted out.
Yeah.
Andy, go ahead.
He's not. He's not conflicted out at all. I think it's his constitutional and statutory responsibility. This does not have anything to do with the Russia investigation. As you've pointed out, this would be a different special counsel altogether. I think Jeff Sessions needs to step up to the plate and make this appointment and have that person responsible to him within whatever that mandate is.
So, Than, what do you anticipate congressional reaction, I guess, on this to be, since so many were favorable?
I think it's going to be exactly what Andy just said. I don't think there's going to be any tolerance for it sliding past the Attorney General. And it goes back to what Jordan just said about the memos. Jay, as much conflict as there was about those memos, guess what both of them concluded? They both concluded that the dossier was used to obtain a FISA warrant. Well, look, if you look inside the Department of Justice and the FBI, a bunch of current officials signed those warrants, Jay, signed those applications for warrants. So it cannot slip past the Attorney General. And frankly, that actually helps narrow the scope as well.
Harry, go ahead.
You're absolutely correct, Than. It's important to note that the individuals who signed the warrants should be investigated. And it is clear that they can't be investigated by the Department of Justice. In addition to which, it's important to note that the Inspector General cannot compel testimony of individuals who've left the Justice Department. So it's very likely he can't interview, for instance, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, who has left or is leaving shortly. So there are so many problems. And so then we come back to the statutory language contained in 28 CFR section 600.1. The Attorney General will appoint a special counsel when it is determined that a criminal investigation of a person or matter is warranted and either the investigation or prosecution of that person or matter by the DOJ would present a conflict of interest.
And clearly here, there's so many involved in leadership involved in the FISA applications. And in the uranium one, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, if they put
Sally Yates was involved.
Yeah. So, and who the Inspector General would have no jurisdiction over right now. All right. We're going to take more calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's try to grab one more in here, Jordan.
All right. Let's go to David in Texas on line 5.
Hey, David.
Thanks for holding on, David.
Thank you for taking my call. Sure. My concern is anybody that signed the FISA report, why can't we get those guys put on administrative leave, get them out of the way, get them out of touch?
And because there has not been an investigation of the matter of any significance right now to make those determinations. I don't like the way it was handled. The information that comes out is outrageous to me. Now, some of the things that have happened with, for instance, the Lisa Strzok and Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, emails back and forth and text messaging back and forth, they should have been gone. Bruce Orr, I think, is still in the Department of Justice in a senior position. I can't imagine why they left him there. Andrew McCabe is gone. Rybicki is gone. James Comey is gone. So it's not like nothing's happened, but there's a process inside the Department of Justice for how all that plays. Is there what's the sense of that aspect, Than, in Washington?
Well, the people that the caller's talking about, Jay, they're still in charge. I mean, that's the problem. And look, all of them may have done nothing wrong. That's entirely possible, but we're not going to know the answer to that question if we look at the people in charge and say, hey, look, take an action. It's your actions. Take a look at your actions, including the signing of these renewals, and see if you did anything wrong. Jay, we won't know unless the people who are in charge are at least looked at by somebody on the outside.
All right. We're going to go to the last segment. We'll take more of your calls at 800-684-3110.
We have a matching challenge right now, folks. You can double the impact of your donation to the American Center for Law and Justice this month if you donate online at aclj.org. It's how we file the briefs. It's how we've made this push to get a second special counsel appointed. It all started in December. We called on it first. Then it was a couple of U.S. senators joined on. Then 13 members of the House. Now a couple more members of the House, Trey Gowdy and Bob Goodlatte. And now the Attorney General of the United States says he's considering doing it. We are able to do this and have this voice and make this impact because of your support for the ACLJ. Make a matching challenge right now. Your donation will be doubled if you make it online at aclj.org.
And also, I got to say this again, Congress, I'm looking at the letter right now. On July 27, 2017, sent a letter to the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General about some of these very issues. So this has been brewing, and now it looks like some action. We'll take your calls and comments when we come back at 1-800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Here, what would you be saying about the opening of the music there?
A lot of keyboard.
We have one of the best keyboard players in the country in John Lowry.
Not a lot of singing yet.
Not a lot of singing yet. We have two fantastic singers. Actually, three really great singers. Four. Not your present hosts included in that. But anyways, we're taking your calls 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So let's go right back to the phones. If you want to talk to us about this or the immigration issue, as you just saw on those who are watching on Facebook and Periscope, give us a call at 800-684-3110. Let's take another call, Jordan.
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Jack in Washington State on line 6. And, Jack, before you start, give us a call, folks, 1-800-684-3110. We do have a few lines open, 1-800-684-3110. How do you think this special counsel can impact these investigations? Jack from Washington State, you're on the air.
Look, I just called to find out why it is, and I think your last caller kind of alluded to a little bit of this, is why when you have a Hillary Clinton – smashing her phone, bleaching her hard drive. You got this lady out there breaking the law in Oakland. Why is it that we don't see handcuffs on these people and make them bail out? I know, here's my opinion is, if I had a neighbor I knew was running guns or doing selling drugs or doing something wrong, and I gave them the heads up before they got there and I was found out through the police department, I'd be going to jail.
So here's the process, though. Let me be clear on this, because I want to make sure that everybody understands this. I don't believe you just put people in handcuffs and put them in jail. I think if there's a crime's been committed, I think the Department of Justice has to operate through a process and determine whether they have probable cause that a crime has actually been committed. So I understand the frustration of saying so-and-so should be put in jails and so-and-so should be put in handcuffs. For instance, Lois Lerner. Okay, there's a lot of comments about that going back to the IRS scandal cases. Do I think she was involved in wrongdoing? Yes. Do I think that it may approached, as Eric Holder said, criminality? Yes. But her lawyer wisely told her to exercise her Fifth Amendment right to not speak when she appeared before Congress, which she has the constitutional right to do. Doesn't protect you from a civil suit, but it protects you from a criminal suit. Or a, when I say it protects you, you're not you have the right to not incriminate yourself. So, and innocent people can take that Fifth Amendment right too. By the way, that's not limited to people that think they're guilty. It's a constitutional grant. So, I understand the frustration, Jack. I do. But look, we are a government of laws. We have process. You don't just. And Andy, you and I were both on we defended and we prosecuted. And the fact is, there is a process, and we need with all the frustration. And I get it. We have laws, rules, and regulations.
We are a constitutional republic. We operate under the framework of a written constitution, unlike, for instance, in England. We do things through due process of law. We make investigations. We determine if there's probable cause. We have grand juries. Grand juries make determinations on whether to issue indictments or not. We have trials. We have confrontation, the right of subpoenaing witnesses and confronting accusers. All these things go into the process before you say, just lock somebody up. You've got to give them due process of law. I understand the frustration, but it's an important process that has been going on in our constitutional republic for over 200 years.
So, Than, we know that, you know, you're dealing with us on a daily basis in Washington. I was just up there with you, as I am regularly. Your sense of this?
Well, I think the sentiment initially, Jay, was basically what Andy just said, that we vest these powers in the Department of Justice for a reason and they should abide there. But look, the difference in this case is that the actions we're looking at happened inside the department. So that's what makes this case unique. And I think Trey Gowdy and Bob Goodlatte outlined that very well in this letter. Jay, I really think this is going to happen because I think this is where Capitol Hill is landing. And sort of by default, even the Schiff memo that came out really made the case for a special counsel. You heard the attorney general admit much of that last night. I think ultimately this is going to happen. It's just a matter of time.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones, Jordan.
Yep, back to the phones we go. Sarah in Colorado on line one. Sarah, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Okay, so I really don't trust Jeff Sessions to elect the special counsel. And my question is there going to be some accountability there for who he selects? Because it's his department that is going to be, you know.
Well, let me say this. I've been friends with Jeff Sessions for 3 decades. And I worked with Jeff Sessions when he was a member of the United States Senate. I did some work with him when he was the Attorney General of the state of Alabama. So, I don't think he had to recuse himself from this. I don't think he needs to recuse himself from this. I understand frustrations that people have had regarding the Attorney General and some of the policies and process that have gone on, but I do trust him to do the right thing and to defend the Constitution of the United States. So I don't want I understand frustration and I get it, but I don't want to disparage people just because they may have done one thing we disagreed with. I mean, I could retrace the whole thing, and I understand the frustration that's out there with this. But as I said, knowing his credibility and who he is as a person, I think this would be a very positive move. If he appoints a special counsel outside of the Washington Beltway, perhaps, that can look in on this and determine whether there's culpability or not.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is why you see this growing call for this special counsel. And you go outside of Washington, D.C., you bring them within the Department of Justice, you get to the bottom of these matters, which the American people have been very upset about. So has the President of the United States, has been very upset about this, and many members of Congress have been upset about it. And the truth is they can have as many hearings as they like, and they've gotten great information from those hearings. And the Inspector General can do these great reports, and we've gotten great information from the Inspector General. But when you put all that together to take action, you need someone who has the ability to take action. And a special counsel does. This kind of reminds me of the times under the Obama Justice Department when they'd get those referrals from Congress to investigate something, and it wouldn't get done because it'd be investigating themselves, and they'd have full control. But here we have a Department of Justice willing to do that because there's so many holdovers from that previous DOJ and so many actors. If you believe in this idea of the swamp, if you believe in the idea of this deep state trying to undermine the current president of the United States, then a special counsel is perfect, and we believe that the evidence has been put forward that meets the standard for when a special counsel is necessary. Is it in the public interest of the American people? I think absolutely, to see the credibility of the FBI and Department of Justice restored. That is very important. Number two, are there conflicts of interest? I mean, we could just start with the people that President Trump appointed have conflicts of interest in this matter. So, yes, you have conflicts of interest at the very top level of the Department of Justice. And then is there a potential for criminal wrongdoing and prosecution? Absolutely, because if you presented evidence to a FISA court to obtain a warrant without providing the full exculpatory information with that evidence, like, by the way, the DNC and Hillary Clinton's campaign were paying for this and there was no verification except for a leak to a Yahoo News account, then that can be criminal. So you need someone who has the power to subpoena, the power to impanel grand juries, and it meets the standards. And there's no one I can imagine inside the DOJ right now who would be able to do this without fear of repercussions, fear of losing their job, of their career. So you need someone who says, this is my temporary position to do. I'm not building a career at the Department of Justice. I come in, I come out for this mandated purpose that can be narrowly drafted.
That's exactly right. I want to encourage you as we close the broadcast out, don't forget, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. And we're in a matching challenge, and we want to keep this momentum going on our support for the ACLJ. So I want to encourage, any amount you donate is matched. Like as Jordan said, $100 is $200, $10 is $20. So ACLJ.org for that, ACLJ.org. We appreciate your ongoing support. A lot of information that we came with you today. We will have more on this tomorrow, and as always, as things warrant, you could always stay engaged with us on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Twitter, and follow us on Twitter as well. And on Facebook, ACLJ has a page, I have a page, Jordan has a page. You can follow us at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at Van Bennett on Twitter as well. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.